Revelation chapter 2 and verses 24 to 25. Now I say this, and to the rest in Thyatira, as many as do not have this doctrine, who have not known the depths of Satan, as they say, I will put on you no other burden. Listen to this prophetic word. I will put on you no other burden, but hold fast what you have till I come. John 16 and verse 12, Jesus said to his disciples, I still have many things to say to you, but you cannot bear them now. In other words, the Lord understood limits. He knows what we can bear and he knows what we can't. And then he says, however, when he, the Spirit of truth, has come, he will guide you into all truth. In other words, the Holy Spirit will enable you to bear incrementally more truth. Now, ocean liners have a mark called the load line or the plimsoll line, and it's a line to delineate how much cargo a ship can carry. If the surface of the water exceeds the waterline limit, then the ship is in danger of sinking. Now, we all have load limits. The God who knows our load limits our load. Amen. And we have to be careful, ladies and gentlemen, that we don't exceed, we don't violate those limits. A plane has a limit on how much cargo or people it can carry depending on the size of the carrier. Each plane has a maximum takeoff weight that is calculated beforehand, and they are very stringent and very strict that they don't exceed the limit or it can end in a tragedy. A truck is designed to carry a maximum load, and it's usually stated at the rear end of the truck itself. And overloading a truck will endanger its people. These two pictures are not doctored. They're actual trucks that are loaded way overloaded with people. A car is designed to take a certain capacity beyond which it is unable to function. Now, here's a picture of an overcrowded train. A luggage, of course, has its maximum weight it can carry. I recall being in Penang with Brother Bailey many, many years ago, and we carried a suitcase full of his books, and it was like 70 kilograms. And when we put the luggage on the trolley, the wheels on the trolley buckle, obviously it was not designed to carry that kind of load. And what is true in everyday life is also true in the spiritual life. You and I, we're all created with limitations. And if we don't observe the load limits or the warning signs, we can eventually break down. It is dangerous when we carry more than what God has designed us to carry. And sometimes we quote scriptures like, I can do all things in Christ. And then wonder why we end up with depression and burnout and mental issues. These limits are there for a purpose. It is to remind us that we are human. And that we were created with limitations. And if you don't pay attention to those limits, then you are just one step away from burnout. Here's an illustration. This morning I drove on the highway, and the highway has a speed limit to church, 90 kilometers per hour. That's the limit that you are entitled to drive. And if you drive at 150 kilometers per hour and ask God to protect you, that's presumption. You will say, God, the Lord will say, if you want my protection, then observe the speed limit for all you fast drivers. The speed limit is there to protect you in the first place. And if you violate those limitations and if you keep running at 100 miles per hour and ignore all those warning signs, then the next step is burnout. And the problem with burnout is then we begin to start looking for ways to have fun because you're not having fun the way God created you to have fun. And so the devil comes along and he offers you different ways of fun, perhaps with the computer, perhaps with an R-rated movie, perhaps with somebody else. And it's when you get tired, that's when Satan strikes. And after Jesus, remember, fasted 40 days and 40 nights in the wilderness, the Bible says he was hungry, he was very weak physically, and it was that point when he was vulnerable that the devil comes and tempted him to turn the stone into bread. So we have to understand our weaknesses and our limitations. Now, every product has a shelf life. Why is it that we change our mobile devices every 5 years? It's called planned obsolescence, and it's deliberately built into the design of the product. Bill Gates says, in every 3 years, every product my company makes will be obsolete. The only question is, Will we make them obsolete or will somebody else make them obsolete? Everything in creation is created with limits. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 13, Paul says, no temptation has overtaken you except that is common to man. But listen to this, God is faithful and will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you're able. But with every temptation, he will make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. God alone knows what you can bear. He alone knows what you can't bear. He alone knows how much temptation you can take. And every time the devil comes to tempt you, you can be sure of one or two things. Number one, either God has given you the grace to bear it or to resist it, and grace is divine energy, by the way. Or number two, he has made a way of escape if he knows the temptation is too much for you. And all these years as a Christian, I have seen God being faithful. Listen, if we sin, it's because we choose to. James tells us that when we sin, it's because of our lustful, our desires within us that says gravitate towards sin, and we don't listen to the Holy Spirit. But I tell you this, God is faithful and he cannot lie. Amen. He says, I will not allow you to be tempted more than you can bear. Amen. Here's another interesting scripture. Malachi chapter 3 and verse 3. It says, the Lord sits as a refiner and a purifier of silver. Now, the act of purifying silver is a delicate and very precise art. The refiner has to ensure that the fire is not too hot. Because if the fire is too hot, it can destroy the silver. But he also has to ensure that the fire is hot enough, because if it's not hot enough, the impurities cannot be removed. It has to be perfect. It has to be just right. So listen to this, what the prophet Malachi says. He says, the Lord sits. He sits and he watches and gives full attention, not just to the silver, but also to the fire, to make sure that the fire is just perfect for the purification process. Amen. He will not allow the fire to be too hot because he knows our limits, what we can take, and we must trust him in the process because he knows exactly what he is doing. The Bible also tells us that we are so valued by the Heavenly Father, and the Lord gives us illustration with a tiny sparrow. And you know, the sparrow, by the way, is the second common bird mentioned in the Bible after the dove. And in the time of Jesus, sparrows were of little value, little worth, little insignificant. And these little birds are mentioned by our Savior Jesus when he thought about our value to God. And he says, are not two sparrows sold for a penny, yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. In another scripture, he says, and for two pennies, you can buy five. In other words, if you buy two pairs, you get one free. And the contrast is a statement of contrast. If a lowly bird is worth so much to God, so much care from the Heavenly Father, oh, you of little faith, oh, you of little faith, how much more valuable you are to God. How much his love and his attention over you. Come on, ladies and gentlemen. You got to trust your Heavenly Father. He is trustworthy. Amen. One of the reasons for limits is because I think that there is a dark side to success. And we're not careful. We're lured into this false mindset that makes us think that we are invincible. Ladies and gentlemen, you're not going to live forever. You are not going to live forever on this life, all right? We're going to live forever in eternity. But we have a three score and 10 years in by reason of strength 80 years, all right? Now listen to this carefully. Paul said, I can do all things in Christ who strengthens me. When he said that, he wasn't trying to imply that he was a Superman. No, sir. He knew his limitations. But what Paul was saying, he says, every project, every assignment that God has given to me, he's also given me the grace to fulfill the assignment. Amen. Because God strengthens me. In other words, he gives me the grace for it. So if God gives you a specific task, you can be assured, you can take it to the bank that he will also give you the grace to enable it, because his yoke is easy and his burden is always light. Amen. Now, if you're doing something that you're not called to, then you will find there's a lot of drudgery. I don't know how many of you drag yourself to work every Monday morning, tomorrow. Oh God, Monday, and I've got to drag myself to work. You should be bouncing into office as the happiest person in the room. Hallelujah. Yeah. Amen. You should be full of joy. You should work is supposed to be pleasurable. Hallelujah. Amen. But if you are finding it a drudgery and it's sapping the life out of you, if you don't stop, it will stop you. There was a season Paul was flying with great success. Remember, everywhere he went, boy, he was successful. He was pushing the boundaries of the kingdom. He was on a roll. And then all of a sudden, God allows a messenger of Satan to come and buffet Paul. And then Paul, with charismatic fervency, cried out 3 times. He said, Lord, take this thorn in the flesh away from me. He knew it was a demon. He knew it was a messenger of Satan. He said, get rid of this from me. And the Lord said, Paul, I am going to teach you a higher way. He said, firstly, I want you to know that my grace is enough for you. It's sufficient for you. And you can bear it, Paul, because I'm going to give you my grace. And the second lesson I want you to learn, Paul, is that when you are weak, that's when you are strong. Amen. Derek Prince used to say that when we are strong, we're usually wrong. Amen. And I tell you, that's absolutely the truth. It's when I'm in my weakness, then I know the strength of the Lord. Amen. I said to the first service that I just come back from Europe, and I was jet lagged yesterday. I slept at 4:30 in the morning. At 4:30, I was wide awake throughout the day. 4:30 in the morning, I slept. 5:30, I had to get up to come to church for the Friends of the Holy Spirit meeting. I walked into church. I was full of life, full of strength. I didn't lose one sense. There was such a grace that was upon me that carried me right through the day, preached in the evening. I'm standing here, 2 services. I feel strong. I feel the power of the Holy Ghost because there's grace for me. There's grace for me, and His grace is sufficient, and His strength is made perfect in weakness. So, in other words, the Lord was saying to Paul, Paul, I got this, and I want to remind you that I'm the Savior of the world, not you. Come on. Ladies and gentlemen, God is God, and He's not applying for the job. Amen. So, I want God to purge me from this relentless, unrestrained pursuit of success. Job was called the most righteous man on the earth. In fact, he was singled out by God to be one of 3 of the most righteous men who ever lived on this planet, together with Noah and Daniel, 3 outstandingly righteous men. And Noah was the richest, and Job, I'm sorry, was the richest man in the East in his time. And that was all that he was, the most righteous man in the world, the wealthiest man in the East. And that's all about Job. And if he had died, then he would just be a parenthesis in eternity. He would just be a footnote in history. And that's all we will know about Job. And God refused to allow him to live in his smallness. So he says, Job, I'm going to interrupt your life. I'm going to allow some fire into your life, because I'm going to make sure that at the end of the fire, all my people are going to know who your name is. Come on. And I tell you, God loves you too much to keep you in your smallness. And He will interfere. He will intervene. He will cross-section your life, because He's going to take you out of that small thinking. He's got a plan and a purpose for your life. Amen. Now, if you want to live in that small thinking, be my guest. But I'm telling you, He allowed Job to go to the fire. He allowed Job, and the fire was so hot. My goodness. But He carried Job through the fire. Ladies and gentlemen, if you squeeze an orange, Andy, what do you do when you squeeze an orange? You get orange juice, right? No matter how hard you try, you squeeze an orange, you won't get apple juice. So whatever is on the inside, when you're hard-pressed, whatever is on the inside comes out. And if you don't like what's on the inside, then you better start changing. Come on. Come on. I mentioned the plimsoll line. Did you know that the plimsoll line changes with the season? I know this to be true because I asked a sailor. Hallelujah. And the density of water changes with temperature. So they have to adjust the plimsoll line accordingly. The colder the water gets, the colder the temperature, the less cargo it can carry. What does that tell you? It tells us that in different seasons of our lives, we can carry more. In other seasons, God loads us with less. All right. So we need to know the seasons we're in. And I'll tell you in a few moments what season we're in and what God is expecting of us and what He is not expecting of us. All right. So it's very important for us to understand the Lord is saying, this is a prophetic word. I add on you no other burden. Amen. Now, allow me just to take a few moments to take you down memory lane. This is not to boast of our achievements. No, sir. But I want to share this with you because in the past 29 years, we have fought many, many battles. And without any fear of exaggeration, we've been at the forefront of most of these battles. And the reason for that is because we have an apostolic disposition and anointing over this church. And I don't apologize for that. I have an apostolic disposition. I think apostolically. The word disposition means the foremost thinking of a person. And you got to, we got to start thinking as a church apostolic. And the danger of this is that I'm pushing because that's the way I'm wired. And then I realize that the people behind me are all weary and tired. That's you. And so I have to watch this because I want to push the boundaries of the kingdom. And God has used Cornerstone to push the boundaries in our community, in our nation, and globally as well. Cornerstone Sri Lanka. I just came back from Cornerstone Spain. My wife right now is in Cornerstone Ireland. And God's expanding the template of our Cornerstone churches. You want to know how Cornerstone Ireland started? 5 years ago, one of the greatest honors I've ever had in my life. Pastor Gavin and his wife, Wendy, they wrote to me. They said, Pastor Young, we've been following you on podcasts. We love the vision and the ethos of Cornerstone Church. Can we come and meet you? So they flew into UK. When they knew we were there, we met them at the Bible College of Wales. And one of the highest compliments a man has ever made and given me. He said, Pastor Young, we want to start a new church in Ireland. And we want to call it a Cornerstone Church. And we don't want to be a battle church. I know wonderful things come from battle. We don't want to be a Hillsong church. We just want to be a Cornerstone Church. Such an honor. Such an honor. And today they are the largest church in Sleebloom County. Amazing. 5 years. Okay. 5 years, and God has blessed the church beyond their wildest imaginations. Right. Now, the flip side to all this is that people can get tired. I have a few people writing to me and saying, Pastor, we probably need to slow down a little bit. We followed you into many battles. We're getting tired and weary. Yes, that is absolutely true. We do need rest. And yes, I will ensure that we're not overloaded. But I hear the Lord saying, I will reward you, Cornerstone, for the battles that you've fought in my name. Hebrews chapter 6 and verse 10 is one of the most important verses in my life right now. It says, for God is not unjust to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward my name, his name, in that you minister to the saints and do minister. God is not unjust to forget. He will reward us for the battles that we have fought in his name. 2024 is going to be a year of divine surprises. Watch this. Yeah, I tell you, I stand and I know that I know that I know God is going to surprise this church this year. God is going to give us beautiful packages that's going to be beautiful from heaven, and it's going to surprise all of us. I know this by faith. I know this in my heart. Hallelujah. So allow me to take you on a journey down memory lane. 1990, the Lord called my wife and I to start a new work. We called the church Bedok Christian Center because of our locality. That's my wife there. Pretty cute. We were an extension of the Chapel of the Resurrection, which was part of the Anglican Communion. 1990 was my Genesis 12 call. I just quit my job, secular job. I felt like Abraham leaving the Ur of the Chaldeans to embark on a journey to the unknown. I had no idea where God was going to lead us. All I had was a promise from him that he would be with me, and that was enough for me. I took the bungee step of faith, and I have not regretted for one single day in the last 34 years that he called me into ministry. I didn't choose this life, it chose me. I didn't choose the dream, the dream chose me. Listen, the dream, Joseph didn't choose the dream was pursuing Joseph. The throne was not being pursued by David, the throne was pursuing David. Moses was not looking for the burning bush. The burning bush was waiting for Moses. And I recall that I had one commandment from the Lord when we first started missions. He said to me, without any fear of exaggeration, he said to me so clearly, he said, I want Cornerstone to be a mission sending church. You must be involved in global missions. That's the only command, that's the only mandate I got from him. 5 years later, the Lord called us to come out from the Anglican Church. I want to state categorically that there was no animosity, no bad blood, no disagreement, nothing. I prayed at the start of 1995. I said, God, what is your plan for our church? He said, I want you to come out from the Anglican Church, because if you stay there, you will not accomplish what I have called this congregation to accomplish. And I tell you, it was a difficult decision for me to make because I had many friends in the Anglican Church, but I realized that we could never, never be the people that we are called to be if we stayed within a denomination. In fact, the denomination they wanted to send me to Reading in the United Kingdom to study, fully paid, fully sponsored. They said, "We want you to be a priest." Yes, I'll say it. They wanted me to be a priest. They wanted to Anglicanize me. There's nothing wrong with that if that's what you're called to. But I was not called to be Anglicanized. Amen. Amen. Because the tribal anointing was very different. And I knew I had to leave. And I'm telling you now, it remains one of the most critical decisions that I made in my life. If you'd asked me what was the turning point in Cornerstone, 1995. It's when we started Cornerstone. That decision to leave sealed my destiny, our destiny, because we were willing to do what was inconvenient, painful, but necessary. That year, God spoke to me in July in a service in an almost audible voice. And he says, "I'm going to give you a building." This was the result of the word that he gave to me in 1995. In 1997, he fulfilled the word that he promised. October the same year, he opened the heavens for our church. And those of you who were there, remember for 5 months, we had an open heaven. Services went on for 5 hours every Sunday morning. It was like heaven on earth. It was God's gift to us for our obedience. That year, we planted our first church overseas in Myanmar. Hallelujah. In 1995, it was the really solid year for us. And then in 1997, we launched our first language congregation, the Mandarin service. Today we have 7 language congregations, the latest being our Sinhalis congregation, pastored by Pastor Lavanga right there, and Mahashika. And then in 2001, the Lord connected us with Brother Brian Bailey. And what happened was the Lord pulled us into the greater eternal purposes of God. The message of Zion was birthed in our hearts, and our eyes were opened to the greater spiritual realities that we never saw before. From 2004 to 2009, we hosted 6 Zion conventions, which were some of the most significant conventions that we've ever had. And there were times when the presence of God was so strong that our knees were knocking, and we were so afraid because the fear of God was in the room. In the early 2000s, we hosted 2 fire conferences that featured evangelist Reinhard Bonnke. That propelled us to a national prominence. And then in 2012, we purchased the Bible College of Wales, and God gave us an expanded vision and added Wales and Europe into our inheritance. 2025, we purchased Pisgah Chapel, and that connected us to the Welsh revival, because Pisgah was one of the great birthplaces of the revival. And some of you might be thinking, "Wow, we had to give so much money." Let me just tell you this: all the money from Pisgah came from one man, not a member of Cornerstone. He was in our church that Sunday morning. He heard me share the vision of Pisgah, came up to me at the end. He says, "Whatever the cost is, I'll pay for everything for the building and the renovations." When God opens the door, he blesses. Amen. I've got I'm telling you, God is faithful to us. Amen. Then from 2012 to 2018, we had the privilege of hosting 6 Kingdom Invasion conferences that really propelled Cornerstone into the global church arena. Today, we have Cornerstone churches, schools, orphanages, training centers in 30 different nations, and God is steadily enlarging the vision. This is our 29 years as a church, and all that God has accomplished for us through now, up till now, is just a springboard to something even greater, because God has not brought us this far just to bring us this far. He's got something more for us. We've got to believe that. And there's only one thing that we have to watch. What's that? Burnout. Burnout. We cannot afford to implode. And I have to be careful to watch the plimsoll line. Make sure that the ship, the water line is below the plimsoll line, because we cannot afford to over exceed the grace that God has given to us. I want to recall one story in the Bible and then share with you what God has been speaking to me. There was a story of 2 kings in the Bible, Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam was the son of Solomon, who ascended the throne of Israel. His father painstakingly established a vast empire over a period of 40 years. And there was so much gold in his reign that silver was piling up in the streets because they had no more value. Come on. Solomon was a slave driver. He worked the people to the bone to build his palaces and cities. And after he died, Rehoboam ascended to the throne. And the first thing that happened was the people came to him and they said, "Sir, your father was a slave driver. He pushed us hard and we are tired and we're exhausted. But if you would cut us some slack, if you would lighten the load, if you would lighten some of the burden, we will serve you." This is 1 Kings chapter 12. And you know the rest of the story. He refused to listen to them. And he says, "If my father's was like a finger, I'm going to be like a waste to you. I'm going to drive you even harder." And the kingdom divided and Israel never recovered. But Solomon built in 40 years. Rehoboam lost in 5 years. Everything was gone. Now, first of all, allow me to say thank you to all of you. And many of you who have been here with me for 30 years or more, I want to say thank you for linking arms with me and joining with me in many of the battles. We're still standing. Amen. And if we're still standing, it means the devil has not yet won. Amen. So I want to thank you, first of all. Many of you have been with me for a long time. How you bore with me, it's a miracle. Number two, I hear the Holy Spirit saying, you have to know the limits of the church as well. Cornerstone is a fruitful tree, no doubts about that. Our branches have gone over the wall. In the last 29 years, we've accomplished a whole lot of things. And I want to stand here and say to you that our inheritance in heaven is secure. The lines have fallen to me and to us on pleasant places. We have a goodly inheritance. All the battles that we have fought is so that we can enlarge the inheritance so that when you get to heaven, we have a wonderful inheritance. As long as you stay in Cornerstone. Join another church. Sorry, goodbye. Revelation 2:25, "I will put no other burden on you, but hold fast what you got till I come." So here's I preach all of that to bring you to the five core pillars. Very quickly, won't take too long. Number one, weekend services. Don't neglect the gathering of God's people. Amen. Online services are good. They're not enough. You cannot. God has not designed the church so that you can watch the services online. The weekend services have to do with corporate worship. It has to do with the word of the Lord coming to us. And I've never ever lost the wonder of corporate gathering. Saturdays and Sundays are my favorite days of the week. When I was a young believer, I remember very vividly that by Thursday, I was dreaming, I was longing for the Sundays to come, because for me, Sundays was not a place or a time to hang out with my friends or go out or party. Sunday was worship and church, and I always had a fresh infusion of the Word of God and His grace that carried me right to the next week till the next Sunday. That's how I lived for some time. And I just want to be honest with you. There was always this fresh infusion of grace. But I never lost the wonder of worship. Never lost it. The second thing was cells. It's our belief that transformative life change takes place blessed in cell communities. I encourage every one of you to be in cell groups, to be accountable to a cell leader. Every one of you. Number three, prayer meetings. I've said this before. If you want to know how popular the pastor is, come to the services. If you want to know how popular the church is, go to their conferences. But if you want to know how popular God is, go to their prayer meetings. Amen. Twice a month, we have something called the Friends of the Holy Spirit gathering. 6:30 Saturday mornings. I encourage you to come. Yesterday, I was so tired. I told you, I was jet lagged. I went to the service. So much energy, so much life. After the meeting, I sat beside two ladies. One of them, I said to her, I said, "Ma'am, where are you from? Where do you live?" She said, "I live in Punggol. I took the 5:35 train in the morning, first train, to get to my destination and took a bus to come to church before 6:30. So you've got no excuse." I asked the second lady, "Where do you stay?" She says, "I stay in Sembawang." You got to go. You got to have a passport if you want to live in Sembawang. So far. And she was in church that's before 6:30. So there's no excuse, ladies and gentlemen. I am so moved by these people. Yesterday at dinner, I went down to the cafe and I met so many, you know, I'm so glad for the Golden Cafe because they built it for Cornerstone church members. On Saturday and Sunday, only Cornerstone. I feel like whenever I walked in, it's like my wedding, you know, I know everybody. Hey, good to see you. And I asked the lady, I said, "Where do you?" She said, I'm from Buena Vista. Buena Vista. I asked the other lady, "Where you live?" She said, I live in Pasir Panjang. Man, a lot of people live a lot of long distance away and they come faithfully. And And you got somebody living across the road and still want to watch online. Number four, organic evangelism. This is just an outflow of our lifestyle. No pressure, just sowing seeds in conversations to people. I do that all the time. And I'm in a taxi, when I'm in a Grab, whatever, you know, what do you do? Do you enjoy doing that? And then I slowly sow some seeds. What do you think is going to happen to you when you die? And start talking and opening the conversation up to a more spiritual thing and talk to them about eternal life. And everybody is willing to talk to you about eternal life. Not everybody. Sometimes in the taxi, they say, hey, are you a pastor? I said, yeah, don't know, very pantang. I don't want to talk about life after death. Yeah, you have to. Number five, serve the body, serve the community. Now, if you want more, if you desire more training and discipleship, we've got T&E classes. If you want more, we have our CIP program for internship programs. And if you want more, we've got the Bible College of Wales. More. So in addition to this, ladies and gentlemen, we have 2+1 events, Christmas, Easter. I love those events. I think they're important. People enjoy it. I think people enjoy the combined services. That's what I think. Because after every combined service, I've got lots of people writing to me and saying, Pastor, that was fantastic. We need to do this more often, coming together as a church, connecting with other people in the congregation. So I'm just trying to hear what people are feeling about these things. I think people enjoy these plus one events. The event department, you know, the media department has done a great job. And I meet a lot of people, ask them, where are you from? They say, oh, I'm from another church. You know, but every Christmas I come to Cornerstone because you do a great job. And I bring my friends, hallelujah, amen. And so this is really encouraging. This year we only have one conference, and that's the WOW conference. And the highlight of our church event is our church camp, which is sold out. Once in 2 months, I told the worship team, let's do this unplugged, just no drums, no heavy music. Just slow down the pace of the church so that people can just enjoy, you know, the just come into the presence of God and worship. But let's not lose our cutting edge, amen? Let's not lose this apostolic disposition. We all have been given a measure of faith, but we must not have or cherish exaggerated ideas of ourselves. We all have limitations, amen? I want you all to stand up, ladies and gentlemen, because I want to close in prayer. Paul says that we're all to prophesy in proportion to our faith. And I want to stand here and I want to prophesy not out of the limits of my faith, but in proportion to my faith, and say to you that God is not unjust to forget. We're going to see His grace and mercy, and this year is going to be a year of divine surprises, divine packages, divine revelation, hallelujah, and divine anticipation. Amen. I want to stand here and also say to you that the Lord says, thank you for fighting my battles. Many of the battles we've stood, we've fought, we've served. Many of you have served and given your heart wholeheartedly. And I thank you. I know the Lord is very pleased and is very grateful to us, for His children, for serving and willingly lay their lives down for Him. Amen. But we have to be careful that we don't overextend ourselves and observe those limits. One of the pastors that I admire most in my life is a man called Larry Stockstill. He's older now and he's retired. And he told me a story during the Hurricane Katrina crisis. He said many people lost their homes and the church took in 900 people, homeless, many of them, unbelievers, unregenerate people. And they stayed in the church compound. And he said to us, Pastor Young, 9 months, we had 900 people. We didn't have a single fight. Not a single fight, not a single altercation. I said, how did you achieve that? He said, we gave every person a space. We marked out by blue tape. And as long as you stay in the space, there'll be order. As long as you stay within the border, there will be order. Because in the word border is the word order. Hallelujah. If we stay in our limitations, God protects us. Amen. And I thought that's a marvelous example of the fact that if we stay within our boundaries, then we have protection. I want to pray for you today. Jesus said, come all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. That's salvation. I'll give you rest. Then the Lord says, learn from me. In other words, what he's going to say is a learn behavior. Learn from me. Learn from me. He said, my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Take my yoke upon yourself. Learn how to take this yoke, because it is easy, it's light, and it doesn't wear you down. Amen. So I want to pray for those of you who are struggling maybe today with, you know, burdens. And I hear this constantly, a refrain. People say, Pastor, I'm tired. I'm tired with my job. I'm tired. I'm going through a tough time. I'm struggling. I've lost the joy of the Lord. I've lost the peace of Christ. And maybe you are way over your limits and you're way overloaded. And the way some people are running, I'm telling you, I'm a bit scared for them, because they're like you know, I mean, listen, ladies and gentlemen, there is more to life than just work, 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 work. Amen. There's more to life than just acquiring assets and wealth and treasure. Shakarabahanda rabasoteria. Father, I just want to pray for these precious men and women, Lord. Many of them have fought battles, have linked arms with me and my wife, Lord, and fought many, many battles in the past, Lord. We've seen victory after victory after victory. But I also hear the Holy Spirit say, it's time to slow down a little bit, consolidate. And you say, and even as the word you gave to me, Lord, that I will add no other burden on you. What a great promise. What a great encouragement as well. I thank you for this church. I thank you for the many battles that we fought. I don't ever want to lose the cutting edge. I don't want ever to lose the apostolic disposition that you have given to us. The foremost inclination of a believer, Lord. What is in our minds? What is in our hearts? That's the apostolic. Father, I pray that your hand will be upon us. Would you lift up your hands, everybody, right now? Hallelujah. And I want you to tell the Lord these words. Hallelujah. Shikaraba. Hallelujah, Lord. Hallelujah.
You've just listened to a production of Cornerstone Community Church. Please note that all unauthorized reproduction, distribution, or sale of the recording is prohibited. For permission to reproduce or distribute the sermon, please write into mail@cscc.org.sg. We hope that you have been blessed.